Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
If you look for it, every day has cause for celebration. Celebrate a friend for their promotion, baby, wedding, life thing. Celebrate yourself for keeping the couch warm. It's no easy feat, especially if it's a big couch. Or maybe you just want to celebrate living in 2023, where you can get beer, wine, and spirits delivered from Drizly in under 60 minutes without leaving said couch. So download the Drizly app or go to drizly.com. That's drizly.com and get your favorite drinks delivered today. Dudes and Tumblers.
Put that record on right now. Life is unfair.
Pretty much. Welcome, everybody, to Tunes and Tumblers by Atwood Magazine. Listening to music is more than an auditory experience. Tunes and Tumblers explores the way our senses mingle by pairing new and classic albums with cocktail and mocktail recipes. We invite you to bring out your inner mixologist as we approach the music we love from a unique, immersive, and thoroughly delicious perspective. So put up your feet and enjoy a cold one on us. I'm your host, Anthony, and it's already shaping up to be a great fifth season. We're semi-back in person. We've gotten to sit down with some incredible artists, and I'm getting to enjoy more drinks than my trademark Topo Chico. That's not to say that I'm breaking up with my beloved Topo, only that I'm considering opening the relationship a little bit. I need to be able to live my truth as a poly beverage man. Please enjoy this ethically non-monogamous thing responsibly. Of course, we all know that drinking alone is a sad, sad business, so I went to a bachelorette party at Saddle Ranch and asked one of the bridesmaids if she'd like to be on a podcast with me, and she is...
Caitlin, you're drink artist.
Are you okay? Do you need a minute?
I'm sorry. I'm so touched by you bringing non-monogamy into the conversation.
Look, I need more than just seltzer water now that we're able to share the drinks. But, you know, we have guests today. Our guests are one half of a pop punk band from Sydney, Australia. They formed in 2012, which Nisaya informs me was indeed 10 years ago. And they spent the following decade riding a groundswell of buzz to become one of the most celebrated groups of the post-Warp Tour scene. They've toured with genre heavyweights As It Is, State Champs, and Cute Is What We Aim For, and opened for Newfound Glory's Australian tour all before dropping their first full-length album. That album, Skinny Dipping, earned them critical acclaim for its tight, soulful, and assured sound, as well as a spot on Kerrang's Best Bands of 2018 list. They're here today to talk all about their latest album, which dropped earlier this year and sees them pushing into deep genre-bending territory while lending a soundtrack to the anxiety we've all endured over the past 2 years. Tunes and Tumblers fam, please welcome Bonnie Fraser and Mickey Rich of Stand Atlantic to the pod. Happy 10th anniversary as a band, y'all.
I need to call bullshit on that thing. I don't think that's correct.
Oh, it's not 2012? You got to update your Wikipedia page, y'all.
Like, somebody put some incorrect info.
Like, I've been in bands for a long time, but Stan Atlantic kind of formed like
2014.
But even then, I wouldn't even count it until we released our like first EP in 2017. Because like we were just bumming around, like we weren't doing anything.
Isn't that what being a band is, though?
Yeah, but now we can bum around and get paid for it. It's all right.
You're kind of gestating for a few years.
Yeah, we were in the mummy's
tummy. I'm not going to say it, but I think it was a different name in 2012. Mm-hmm. I don't think Stand Atlantic, the name even came till 2014 or 15.
Yeah, I don't even know.
You were so, like, the name was What It's Worth, right? Something like that.
Thanks.
Thanks. Yeah. I was trying to keep it a secret.
Go on to Spotify and check it out, yes, all of that.
Now you can stalk them like crazy like we did.
What do you say we start the show, y'all? It's been a little bit, and I think it's time we catch up. What has everyone been listening to recently?
What have I been listening to? I really like an artist called Fletcher.
Oh, yeah, she's great.
Yeah, she's sick. I really like her stuff. Let's do it for a while, but a new Becky So Hot song. Pretty good. Pretty good, my brother. And I, what else have I been listening to? What else came out? I always feel like we just recycle the same shit all the time, like in the green room and stuff. Upsal, very cool.
Oh, yeah. Friend of a friend of a friend. She's everywhere here.
Friend of a, yeah, legit. I know. Mm-hmm. I feel like everyone I know is meta except me.
Same. I get it. Everyone's like, yeah, my friend Upsal. I'm like, when are we going to get to hang out?
I've never
When
met
can
them.
I say that sentence?
Exactly.
But yeah, those are my top two, I'd say, right now.
Recently, we realized that we don't listen to new music enough, but yeah. Coincidentally...
We're kind of super cynical and judgmental.
But coincidentally, I have been listening to new music. I've been listening to that new Polyphia song.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
called ABC.
Is it the one featuring...
Sophia Black.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's really, 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 really good. That it's just funky. It's just like a good vibe song. Gets you in the mood for anything.
Yeah.
To be honest, weirdly, I've been listening to like a lot of EDM, which is weird. Like I've been listening to a lot of Porter Robinson.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
a lot
yeah.
of Zed.
Oh, I love Zed too, bro. Sick.
Wee baby Zed. I mean, that guy's probably older than me, but he will always be baby Zed. He looks like baby a little Zed. Baby.
And like Madian.
Oh, God. I loved his album from like 2015.
Yeah.
I still listen to that all the time.
He was probably like 15 then as well.
Yeah.
He probably was 15.
That's crazy.
He was like touring the world because he's like a DJ. I guess he was just like playing like clubs and he was like 15. He'd have to go in like play like a DJ
Can't
set
even
and
get
just
into
get
the
kicked
club
out.
He's playing.
Oh, yeah. They did that. I mean, like they still do that. Yeah. All of these DJs coming up who are playing like 21 and over clubs, like they have to be escorted into and out of the venue.
Yep, no fun is to be
not
had.
when they go to Club Deviate.
What is that?
It's like the Kiss FM club in Hollywood, where like it's like 18 up. It's like where all the 11-year-olds go to party it up in LA.
That sounds horrible.
It's not great. It's not.
Kaylin, what have you been listening to?
I've been listening to this song by Lucius. It just came out, actually. I've kind of been listening to it nonstop the last like 24 hours. It's Muse.
Is it the Halloween one?
No. it's not by Muse. It's by Lucius. It's called Muse is the song.
Okay.
And it's sort of about that, you know, initial meeting with somebody that like just sparks your interest immediately and you're just so excited about them, enthralled by everything that they are, like the intensity of like the thought of touching them, or you know, just that sort of like they are this person that is on your mind. And I love that. I want that. I want a person that's just like wrapped up in me. I'm wrapped up in them. And when, you know, touch happens, it's like electric.
Yeah.
That's,
for sure.
That's been my, been my jam.
That just triggered the memory that Bond's answer to you was all a lie. Everything she just said to you was a lie because all she's been listening to is Muse's new Halloween song.
Yes. I love that song.
Yes. They're making me listen to that. Like, I swear I've heard it like 16
it's a jam.
Times.
Yeah. We talked about it during our last interview a lot.
Yeah, yeah. We did a Halloween episode last week, and that's like we talked about that a lot. Like nobody's making Halloween songs, like new Halloween songs. It's all like the monster mash and Thriller. But Muse was like, we're gonna low key like put a Halloween song on our album.
Genius.
They snuck it in there for us.
Christmas, do Halloween songs.
We went to Target like 2 days ago and they were playing Christmas songs.
It was kind of cute because it was snowing outside.
I'm barefoot right now in Los Angeles. That's where I like to be.
Yeah, it's a nice 66 degrees outside.
God damn it.
Come back.
I want it.
Come back to LA. We'll serve you cocktails.
Yes, please.
Speaking of which, we've got to kind of wrap this part up. I wanted to talk a little bit about what I've been listening to.
Oh, yeah.
I've been reading Meet Me in the Bathroom by Lizzie Goodman. It's this oral history of the rebirth of the New York rock scene at the turn of the century. I know that there's a documentary that just came out, and I'm finally like, I got to read this thing. And I've been discovering bands that were like contemporaries of like LCD Sound System and the Strokes that I had never heard of before. And this one that I really love is called the Mooney Suzuki. I've never heard of them before, but apparently I've heard their like big song, which I forget like what the name of it is right now. Just go on Spotify. It's the number one song. It's been in soundtracks a bunch. But yeah, nice. Like if you're looking for a vibe, it's slick, it's highly produced, and it's extremely energetic. It has this like T-Rex New York Dolls vibe. It's just loud rock that demands sing-alongs and dancing. So the Mooney Suzuki, everyone, they were around like 1998 through like 2006, and then they just disappeared. Check it out.
I remember hearing that song that he's talking about, and we both were just like, where have we heard this? And I'm like, I don't know. I feel like it was on like the radio when I was younger. And he's like, no, it's like UK charts. And I'm like, oh.
It was like Shaun White Snowboarding 3 or something.
Oh,
like
yeah. That.
That
was it. The Shaun White snowboarding game that my brothers probably played.
Low key, great soundtracks.
Oh, that's the thing in The Simpsons, the putting challenge. Sorry.
We love The Simpsons here. They also did a didn't they do a Halloween special?
They do one every year. It's called every the Treehouse of Horror.
That was the most fake fan thing I've ever heard.
Didn't they do a Halloween special?
Yeah, they're up.
I'm not the one that watches. I'm not the one that watches it. He's the one that watches Simpsons a lot more than I do.
We all had our thing during quarantine to keep us sane, and mine was watching 500 episodes of The Simpsons.
500?
There's
it
more than that.
It gets bad after like 3.
Nah, but Bond hasn't come back around yet because it gets bad around 18 to 27.
And then it comes back. Little. It gets pretty good.
It comes
good.
Back. My 32 favorite. Is great. 31 is really good.
All right, I'll go back.
33 is all right. And then 34 I haven't watched
Mickey
yet. But
knows.
Apparently it's good. Yeah. Watch it a lot.
I've got this all cataloged.
Well, I'm getting thirsty, y'all. I think it's time we moved into the bar. But listeners, if you want to hear more of what we've had on repeat, check out our YBLT playlist on Spotify. YBLT stands for What Have You Been Listening To? But we've leaned like really hard into the BLT part of that. The photo for the playlist is a sandwich in space. So yeah, check that out. Come back every week.
Playlist to Muse.
It's just Muse right now. It's just Muse 50 Muse. Times. But besides that, you'll see pics from me. You'll see pics from Kaylin, Nasiah, Drew, and maybe some new guests coming very, very soon. But we've been rambling out here in the cold for too long. What do you say we head into that bar and warm up a little? Bonnie, Mickey, did you bring anything to show the bouncer today?
I brought my ID.
This is really hard.
Ready? All right. Let me get my ID out.
Mine's going to be probably scary for the bouncer. I'm not going to lie.
Oh my god, he's adorable. Take a quick picture.
Yeah, I need a photo of that. Oh my god.
Ronald, the cutest little Ronald McDonald figure, and then a travel massage gun, it looks like. Or is that a full size one?
I love it. That looks like a travel size.
Oh man, it's good.
We've been wanting to use one of those like on our pugs because there's this video of this pug that like adores getting massages from those things.
Just leans its face into it.
Really? They're kind of intense. I didn't
I
think
know,
a dog would
but
like...
this pug like is into it.
Damn, that's sick.
Where did you get that little tiny Ronald McDonald?
Okay, so me, Bon, and our friend, we were out in LA like whenever this tour started, and we were like going shopping.
He was going crazy, man.
And then we went into the store, and there was a store that just stocked all the different sizes of this fat Ronald McDonald.
It's just a chungus
like
McDonald's.
Like huge ones, like this big, and like. But then they also had mini ones, and we were like, oh, let's get the mini ones. So we bought like 15 boxes of them.
We didn't buy them. Yeah, we didn't have that
group,
kind of...
Yeah. And then this is the one that I kept. And this is the one that sleeps in my bunk.
And I didn't even
It looks like
one.
Me. See? It's got a little belly. It's got pink hair.
Adorable.
My little Mickey.
Aww.
So this is my ID.
They're kind
see?
Of creepy as fuck.
So charming.
They just and it be looks like, yeah, the... I just changed my face color a bit. But it's my ID.
You're now white.
Yes. This is before I became Asian.
There was a time when you weren't Asian?
Apparently, and I was fatter.
And I was fatter.
And I was a clown.
But you know what? That works as a valid form of ID, apparently, because we've just been ushered inside.
Hell yeah.
It was fake, suckers.
Bonnie, Mickey, welcome to the Tunes and Tumblers bar. Feel free to hang your coats on the rack. Well, I mean, it looks like a rack, but it's actually Drew. We just told him to stand in the corner and put his arms out until Kaylin can get around to actually buying a rack for this bar. So just hang them on Drew. He'll just stand there. This is what we pay him for. But in the meantime, let's get some tunes on while Kaylin heads behind the bar. Listeners, today we are listening to Fear, aka Fuck Everything and Run, the new album by Stan Atlantic, out now on Hopeless Records. So before we get into it, I have a couple things I want to say about it. There's a lot that I want to get into about this album. I've been a fan of pop punk for as long as I can remember, and though I know it's having a bit of a comeback, a lot of it feels kind of nostalgic and safe to me, but that's not what Fear is. It's sonically adventurous. You know, you're drawing from hardcore, you're drawing from hip hop, and even a little bit of ska that I noticed. It's crazy, great, you know, it's rough around the edges, rougher than your previous records, and I think for a good reason. Fuck Everything and Run felt a lot like an internal mantra that like a lot of us had during the roughest parts of the pandemic. You know, the world is falling down around us and we're stuck between four walls with nothing but anxiety, depression, and fear to keep us company. So this album is like purging a lot of that. It's screaming, it's raging it all out because it has nowhere to go, and it's channeled through this amazing pop filter, and it just kind of gets stuck in the back of your head. But yeah, enough of that. I tend to ramble. I'm gonna talk myself hoarse. Kaylin, did you make a cocktail for us to drink while we listen to this album?
So I made you a Bleeding Shell. It's 2 ounces Ooh. Huckleberry vodka, 1/2 ounce apple whiskey, 1/2 ounce vermouth, and 1/2 ounce ginger beer with a lychee and blackberry ice sphere. So you'll take the vodka, shake it with whiskey and vermouth and ice, and you'll pour it over an ice sphere in a chilled glass, and you'll top with the ginger beer. Just be careful to not spill your blood out all over the place.
What did you make up the name?
Yes.
Anyway, I'm really excited to have a sip of this. Tell me a little bit about like why you chose the flavors you did.
So the album pretty much centers itself on experiences that I also had during the pandemic. You know, I lost my job before everything shut down and was kind of rebranding myself. And when I was ready to pull the trigger on job interviews, everything just shut down. I heard back from nobody. My whole career stood at a standstill for like 2 years. And so it just felt like I was this person with no purpose. And I was just this empty shell that was just bleeding all over the floor every day because there was nothing better to do. And I was just feeling sad inside all the time because the things that I loved to do were no longer accessible for me anymore. So the sphere is the idea of, you know, a shell of a person, and the inside is filled with the blackberry. And I liked the idea of, as it melts, you know, you're kind of bleeding out a little bit, and, you know, your shell is coming off and you're kind of starting to live again a little bit. And there is actually some gold dust in there, so as it melts it starts to swirl and become a little bit sparkly. But at the same time, you're still stuck, and you're still dealing with this sort of pain and emptiness. So you drink to it, and you drink the harder liquors
way down,
and you mix your whiskey and your vodka.
Cheers to that. Cheers, everyone. To
cheers.
Looks like a latte and
oh
liquid
my God,
death
that's
over
so
there.
Good.
Yep.
That is
oh, holy shit.
That is really good.
I don't usually.
So good.
I've been waiting.
Can you guys make it for us?
Yes.
Yes,
when are you
please.
Back in LA? Tell us when you're back in LA.
February.
Yeah,
we'll be here.
We'll mark the calendar. We'll be in touch with your people. Our people will contact your people. Our people being me.
Good.
Sick.
Yeah.
There we go.
But yeah, I want to hear about the process for you. I've read so much about your story in particular, Bonnie, about like trying to escape the pandemic, but just kind of going where the lockdowns ended up happening. Can you tell me a little bit about like these emotions that kind of manifested as you were writing this album?
I think I was just like completely heartbroken in every way a person can be. Like, I was away from my partner for 6 months at a time, and the thing that I love to do got taken away as well. And I know I'm not like the only one that felt that way. Like, as you're saying before, like, my purpose just got like completely ripped, and I did not know who the fuck I was anymore. I feel like I kind of like lost a huge part of myself. Still trying to find it. So she's out there. Give me a holler. But yeah. And I think going into writing that record as well, like, it was the first time we had a lot of time to do it. Normally we're doing it like between tours, so it's like 3 weeks, and it's like, okay, yep, go write the record. It's like, oh shit, all right. And just like, wham, bam, thank you, ma'am. Just like immediately done. But this time it was like 7 weeks. I was at our producer and like our good friend, Stevie Knight's apartment. And I was living with him for like 7 weeks straight. And we were driving each other in fucking sane. And it was just like, yeah, the first time we had like a long time to properly like nut out these songs, like to in every way we wanted to. And that's also why we were like, let's just make a huge mix of like different genres and stuff for once. Cause I feel like we tiptoe around it before and like we kind of like dip our little toes in. Mm-hmm. But this album, we were like, fuck it. Like,
fuck
this
could be
the last
record.
Exactly. Didn't want to make the pun, but you did it for me. Cheers. because we didn't know what the world was going to be like as well. It could have been the last album we ever wrote. But like, you know what I mean? So we were just like, we have to do exactly what we want. So let's do it.
It was also the first time, going off what Bon said, like, usually I feel like the last two albums, it's like we had 11, 12 songs written. And then we were like, okay, we're picking 10.
Yeah.
Like, but this was the first time we had like 34 songs written. And we're like, oh fuck, we got to pick like 10.
That seems like a good place to be though, to have that much to choose from.
And no.
I mean,
we lost some good soldiers.
We lost some good soldiers out there.
I mean, maybe they'll come back on a bonus EP.
Exactly. Yeah, maybe. Yeah, it was definitely a good problem to have, that's for sure. We just like to complain. So.
Don't we all?
God, we're just too creative, everybody. I have to say, like, I really like your foray into actually like rapping and getting some like good, like, I love Nothing Nowhere. I think he's great. And I love what he's doing genre bending. Did you actually get like in the room with him, or was this like a remote collaboration?
No, still kind of during COVID. Yeah,
everything about this album was remote. Like everything. Yeah. We didn't even see each other during the recording.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
I didn't.
Like,
yeah.
A number like the whole like house limit thing. Like you can't.
Yeah. It was during lockdown. So we did the whole album at Stevie's apartment.
Yeah,
except for drums, which we did at Jono's house. Like none of this was in a studio. And we all had to go one by one, and like instead of like bouncing ideas off each other, it'd be like I'd go in, record bass, and then like we'd come up with an idea, and we'd have to like bounce it, send it to everyone, be like, what does everyone think? And they'd be like, okay.
And then
Potter would go in the next day or whatever, go record, he'd change something, and then I would have to come back in and change it. And like it was
so it's
process.
Just a huge round
we didn't
of
see
tag.
Each other.
You're just playing a huge game of tag for this album.
Pretty much, yeah. Also, we technically weren't even allowed to be doing any of that either. Like we were not.
So you're
like
those hairstylists getting going around on the sly and like
legit
doing
I was, like,
it out of your house
by the cops, being like, "I'm seeing my boyfriend," my girlfriend, like on the phone. I'm like, sorry. It's so bad. Like I don't know, the whole everything about it was just like cool.
Yeah, it was so remote. So yeah, no, we didn't see any of the featured people.
Yeah, so
I didn't see Bon.
Question: No, we did, I didn't get in a room with Nothing Nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
But we FaceTimed and like I told him a bit about like the song and what we were after. And pretty much the first thing he sent back was like it. I was like, bruh, could you not be that good? Like that would be great. Cheers.
Tone it down.
Weirdly, yeah, I just remembered there was like 2 weeks where Sydney, where we were, opened up. Like there was like a 2 week period. And that's
between
when we recorded
Delta and Omicron, that little window.
That little,
and
like,
thought,
window.
That little window where everybody's like, oh my God, we're free for like 2 seconds.
When we recorded Pity Party. So we were like, we were kind of together for Pity Party and it was kind of nice. And we were like, hey.
Yeah, true.
And then we just went our separate ways and did everything alone again.
And I think it's like really fitting given that was the atmosphere that this album turned out to be. Like so loud, and I guess aggressive is kind of a simplistic word to describe it. It feels cathartic in a lot of ways. But you know, I was thinking a little bit in prepping this episode with Nisaya that we talk a lot right now on the show about COVID and how COVID has affected everybody, like personally and artistically. But I think like in a lot of ways, these emotions already existed before and exist after. And, you know, there have been studies that have been done that show that your emotions happen first. So like your amygdala in your brain goes off in reaction to like something. It's like a physical response. And then it's your frontal cortex that tries to make meaning out of it. So it's like, I need to point to something that is the cause of this. Do you, like, I guess this is kind of a roundabout way of asking, like, do you feel like now that we're kind of coming out of it, that these emotions still manifest in other ways for you?
Yeah, I think so. Like, as I said, like, I think I changed, like, coming out of that whole experience. I think everyone did in some way. Like, I feel like I, socially, I'm not the same, I don't think. Like, going out, I think my social battery is a lot smaller. I get a little more anxious than I've been before. Like, what the hell is that? I don't know. I think when you're talking about, like, we have to find something to, like, be the reason of, like, why we're feeling this way, I think that's so true. Like, during that moment, I was like, well, for 2 years, I was just like, this is everything else's fault. Fuck this. And then also pointing at myself, being like, why the fuck aren't you a better person? Like, why don't you have a purpose, you stupid idiot? Like, why don't you pick a different job? Like, just hating myself for stuff as well and feeling that way. It's just like, that didn't really make any difference to the situation. But
yeah, I think the self-loathing and, like, the blame that we experience, I mean, even for myself without having a job, you know, I felt other people also pointing at me saying, like, what the fuck? Like, you lost your shit. Where did you go? And I'm just like, the pandemic just, like, stole it all, kind of. And it's not even just that. It's like, you know, we took, you know, the puzzles and the video games and the, you know, little keep yourself busy activities. And it wasn't really until towards the end of 2020 that I was like, or even 2021, that I was really like, okay, I got to really knuckle down and figure out what I'm going to do next. Yeah, I can't just sit around on my ass all day, every day, while, you know, even though things are still slow and nobody's answering back and nobody worthwhile was hiring, it was just like, I still felt like I needed to do something about it when I wasn't, and I couldn't. And so once I did have even, like, the smallest amount of opportunity, it was like, I like jumped at it obsessively, even if it was a bad opportunity.
Definitely. I was literally just every day until we, like, started writing, and, like, until I went to Stevie's house and, like, we properly knuckled down and, like, started writing, I was literally just waiting for those 2 months. Like, I was doing nothing else, really. I was obviously writing myself a little bit in my room, but getting angry at myself anyway, so fuck it. And yeah, it's like, you need something that, like, keeps you going. Cause once the novelty wears off of all the puzzles and, like, the little games and, like, all that kind of stuff for, like, the first 3 months, like, once that, like, wears off, you're kind of like, damn, what if this is our entire life from now on? Holy shit. It's scary as fuck.
That was hard.
And I was angry as hell.
Yeah.
I was super angry. I mean, I started the pandemic lull before everybody else did. I was actually out of my job January 13th and everything shut down in March. So I had, like, a couple of months that I was everybody else was still working, and I was just like, I'm free.
So you
guys
got some practice.
So I got,
you got quarantine practice.
No, I was just over it before it even started. I was already over the fucking puzzles. I was over the games. I was just like, I just want my life back. I want my career back. I want love back. I want excitement back. I want to stop feeling like there's nothing to be, like, there was for the longest time just nothing that I felt excited about.
What's, like, the point of waking up?
Yeah, like, why don't I just stay in bed? But that even made me feel worse. And it wasn't until I ended up doing these quote-unquote pandemic projects that I started. It was, like, handy stuff around the house, like replacing my faucet, painting my bathroom, you know, just handy stuff. And I ended up actually refinishing a bookcase that is now our home bar. It's, like, a really tall, like, 6-foot bookcase that I found in the alley. And it was, like, every day I was like, I'm going to just pretend I'm on the clock and go out in my side yard and sand this thing down and eventually get it to the point where I can stain it and finish it off. And that really kept me going, I think, is just finding some small spark of purpose somewhere.
Totally.
But not just everybody, like, had that.
No.
I was thinking a little bit about, this is a statistic that I heard a while ago. I don't even know if a statistic is the right word, but no matter what you do, like, if you're an astronaut or if you're, like, a real housewife of Beverly Hills.
Fuck those bitches.
Yeah. So everyone has the same, on average, the same base level of cortisol, which is your stress hormone. So, like we were talking about earlier, if you don't have something to point to as your stressor, like the thing that is causing you stress, then it manifests elsewhere. Think about how like dramatic reality shows are, like where people just get mad about nothing and create drama out of nothing. It's because, like, you know, absent any real problems, you have to create problems.
Yeah.
But yeah, I kind of wanted to just bring it back to the album a little bit. Like, besides going out and like kind of taking a little bit of pandemic with you, have you noticed anything about the world touring and like the interaction with fans that have been different bringing this album out?
What do you mean, like,
how's the experience of touring with this album different than you have toured before? Like, do you think that anything is tied to like what we've experienced over the past 2 years?
I don't know. I do feel like a lot of people can relate to the emotions and the general theme or anti-theme that the album is, which was like, unfortunately, COVID album. Ew, hating that. I think people can relate to it a lot, but like, in terms of like difference in fans, like, I don't think
there's a couple people who are still a bit like standoffish. I feel like I feel like a lot of people who would have gotten into it still kind of standing at the back. And
are you talking about like socially with like COVID?
Yeah, like, and COVID? Just the I'm kind of like wondering about the atmosphere in general, because you're getting to travel the U.S. I have not seen like a lot of the world since the end of the pandemic.
We're just wondering what it's like to tour post-pandemic with a pandemic album, basically.
You've toured before and you're touring now. How is this different?
I would say that I'm different. Like, I know this isn't all touring, but like, because I've been traveling as well to see like family and stuff. It's weird how different parts of the world are still at different stages, if that makes sense. Like, I feel like UK last year was already like, no, fuck it. There's no COVID. That doesn't exist.
It was sick.
I feel like America is like 50-50. Like, I feel like it's very like, depending where you are, like it kind of like,
like if you're in
fluctuates.
Florida, it never existed in the first
place. Yeah.
If you're in Florida, they're still on spring break, y'all.
Yeah.
Spring break never ends in Florida.
But you go to some places in Asia, it's still like very like, it's still very like, don't go outside
like
after 8 p.m.
Right. And I think in a lot of Asian culture, you know, whenever you are feeling symptoms of any sort of sickness, they're just as a culture a lot more protective of, you know, bodily fluids passing. I actually had an instance the other day where I was over at someone's house, and they're Bengali.
This.
And I took a pillow that was just this small little side pillow on the sofa, because they don't have a, like, I have my feet up on an actual massive ottoman right now, because I always have to have my feet up when I'm lounging. It's just like a weird thing.
I love it too.
I'm like, I'm always anxious. I need to curl up as much as I can. And I took this pillow and put it like on the lower part of this pull-up coffee table, because, you know, there's a space there. They were so offended that I put my feet on this pillow, because they think it's just so disgusting to put your feet on a pillow that you put your head on. But as a white person, I'm like, I can just clean.
I think I agree with them. I'm sorry.
Well, yes, no, and I agree. I agree. Like, if you're not going to like lay on that pillow afterwards, you're going to clean it later. Yeah. I'm the type of person that can clean everything I own. So like, that's sort of a white mentality, I think, of like. But also, we are the types that'll touch our face and like, you know, touch another person or touch a thing. Whereas in other cultures, that's like really weird. And it's something that I think just in general is probably the reason that, you know, in those areas, they're still being very protective.
I'm touching my face as we talk right now. It's like that's like something I couldn't get rid of during the pandemic. Just like, it's my nervous
tick. Face?
Yeah.
Yeah, we just,
I don't
like
know. I just touch my face
like,
all the
like
time.
I think it's a white people thing, Anthony.
Yeah, I touch my face too. I'm trying not to. I've got my hands.
Everyone's touching their faces now.
The CDC says don't touch your face.
Don't touch your face.
The CDC says you can get a little bit of COVID as a treat.
The CDC just says, get that corn out of my face.
Before we wrap things up in the interview portion, I do want to talk about, like, we've talked a lot about COVID. I promised we wouldn't talk a lot about COVID. We ended up talking a lot about COVID. I want to know about musically. You've got so many influences that are apparent on this. I want to know, like, not just, you know, what were you drawing from, but also, like, what was going on in your life outside of COVID that you feel like ended up in this record?
Nothing. All
big
COVID.
Question.
It was all COVID all day.
No, what are you talking about?
I mean, obviously, it was hard to be away from my partner for that long, and like we was constantly arguing and stuff because you're far away, and that's heavy. But other than that, like my life fucking sucked. I had nothing. Like that is why I wrote this album, because I had felt like I had absolutely no reason to just do anything. It was disgusting, and I vomit every time I think about it. But there was another part to your question that I forget.
How about musically, what kind of influences were you drawing from?
It was weird. I feel like I definitely couldn't pinpoint like one influence. But Stevie and I were watching a lot of like rockumentaries and stuff. I think they were really influencing us a bit. We also drew from like stupid things like Pantera and like Avenged Sevenfold, like just stupid, like
I can totally, especially with Doomsday, see the Avenged Sevenfold. Yep.
Just about, well, I was
also, how dare you call Avenged Sevenfold stupid?
I fucked with Avenged Sevenfold when I was a kid hard.
Same. We all grew up in the 2000s.
Oh yeah.
They were kids.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah. But yeah, no, I don't know. Like even like Lil Peep, like we were just like going to every kind of corner that we could. But again, I feel like lyrically and stuff, it was just so driven by my angst.
Each song that you put out was different. Like it didn't all feel like just COVID in your face, COVID in your face. Even though it was
sure.
just COVID in your face. Like how did you mitigate, you know, making these separate ideas for each song and making each song its own kind of vibe and concept?
That's a great question. And I feel like concepts for songs is not something I've ever thought about until after the song's written. Every song isn't one like individual emotion or situation. I think a lot of the songs kind of link up to each other, and there's different like sides to the emotion I was feeling or like the way the emotion came out. I don't know. I didn't really think about that. I was just kind
of
like,
makes me think like of a, you know, like a faceted sort of, you know, shell kind of thing, as you know, there's each side of the album, you know, each song is a different side of it. And
it's
almost,
like a Rubik's Cube kind of.
Exactly. And
also
you can
just
connect them and move them around and they're still the same thing, but different.
It's also just like experiential writing. Like you write just to like have your thoughts be separate from you. So you can look at them and you're like, okay, what does this
to
all
get
mean?
Them out. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's the universe's problem now.
it's part of the fans' job to fix all the problems now.
Yeah, that's what I meant by that.
Exactly. That's why we do VIP. We just want fans to fix our problems.
You just bring them in as your personal therapist.
We pay them, yeah.
Well, we're kind of coming to the end of the interview portion, but I wanted to ask a question of the group. Anyone feel free to answer this. I have to admit that we have talked about this album on the show before during the What Have You Been Listening To segment. We had like a big back and forth on it like a couple months ago. And I got the name of the album wrong. I thought I was
just
like, it's Fear. It stands for what? Fuck It and Run? Like, no, that's
fuck
not. That doesn't spell fear. And I was like, couldn't remember it.
Fire.
Something like that. But Fuck Everything and Run. Fuck Everything and Run. If you were to just say Fuck Everything and Run, where would you go?
Oh, shit.
Somewhere
warm and sunny with sand.
Yeah. Hawaii.
And cocktails.
I don't know. Somewhere. Yeah. Where else? Where else is sunny and beachy? I've never been to Bali, but
I've never been to any of Indonesia or Asia or anything like that. I'd probably go
Fiji.
There. Never been to Fiji.
Me neither. Let's go.
Singapore would be
Fiji.
Cool. Singapore.
Where?
Singapore, I feel like would be cool.
Too sweaty though.
Tahiti.
When I think about it,
I want sweaty warm. I don't know.
And yet
that
you won't let
nice.
Me turn up the thermostat in this place.
Yeah, because we've got pugs. Pugs don't like hot.
You can blame the pugs all you want, but I'm freezing.
Oh
boy.
Where would I go?
Maybe just put some more blubber on you, Anthony.
It's ironic because like in California, I don't like cold, but one of my favorite places in the world is the Pacific Northwest. I think like the context is what matters. If I'm in California, I want it to be fucking warm. But like if I were to say fuck everything and run.
Like, the Pacific Northwest is like like Milwaukee and stuff, or is it a bit more left?
Oh no, it's more left. It's like Portland and Seattle.
Like Portland. Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yep.
I forgot that we're dealing with folks from Australia.
I just feel like the Midwest.
It's just
isn't the Midwest like not all the way on the west? Like technically, so Oregon and Washington is the west coast. That is not the Midwest. The Midwest is further in, isn't it?
It reminds me of that joke from Anchorman. It's like we have a cold swell in the upper Northwest, and it looks like it's going to snow in the Middle East. Yeah, I just forget that, like, people who aren't from America, it's like California, New York, Florida, and then just nothing in the middle.
Y'all got your own geography over here.
We had a show the other last time we were here, and Bon kept calling Chicago the East Coast, and I was like,
in my head,
Midwest.
It goes New
See,
York,
that's the Midwest.
Chicago, Seattle, and LA.
It's
everything.
Yeah, you've got it all. But you can't forget Nashville.
I love Nashville. We've only been there one time.
Louisiana.
We're going there soon. We're going there in a couple of days.
So excited. Ooh. Yeah.
Oh yeah, maybe we'll get plane tickets. We'll get Mitch to fly us out there.
Yeah,
with the non-existent budget.
Please, Daddy Mitch.
Please, first class tickets.
We need to bring cocktails to the people that need them.
Yes.
Yes, you do. Have you ever thought about calling your podcast Cockstars?
The thing is, I had an idea for a podcast where it is sharing cocktails and telling your craziest sex stories, and it's called Cocktails.
Yeah,
and we actually we had a couple friends that we were talking to about our podcast a couple years ago. This was like right before the pandemic, and they suggested we call it Beats and Cockies.
Beats and Cockies. They were drunk.
We were like, all drunk.
Beat me.
I think it was like Beats, like music beats.
By Dre.
No,
by
yeah,
Dre.
Yeah. I get it.
We'll get sponsors.
Please sponsor by Dre. Us. Topo Chico, please send us more stuff. We're all out of the stuff you sent us last time. Anywho, I think that I am ready to move on. This has been a great conversation, Bonnie and Mickey, but let's have a little fun. Who's ready for a game of hashtag mood?
Yay!
Drew,
let's do it.
Hit that theme song. Oh my gosh, Drew, we have to save that video for a reel. Oh my gosh.
That's like when you
so
send a dick
funny.
Pic.
It's just bottom of chub pic. It's not even just dick. It's just bottom of chub.
Listeners, we know you have no idea what we're talking about, but that's why you should follow us on social media and find out for yourself. But hashtag mood, what is hashtag mood, you ask? Hashtag mood is the game we like to play at the end of every show to flex our playlist building skills. What we're going to do is go over to the Tunes and Tumblr's inbox, where a fan of the show or a fan of Stan Atlantic has sent us a quote mood for us to playlist. This is how they've been feeling, what's on their mind, what's going on in their own little world. We're going to take that and to create a special playlist. Each of us gets to choose one song to match it. Drew, I think you have a couple picked out. Can you play them for us? Or at least don't play them at the same time. Just one at a time.
Anxious and depressed about the world. Y'all are my favorite band, BTW, at Fia.mar.
They're sad, but you're their favorite?
Yeah. So I'm going to go with...
So wait, are all of them going to be in the Siri voice?
Yes, so that's Gail. That is Gail, our text-to-speech person.
Love Gail.
Love
yes.
Gail.
Gail's amazing. But yeah, so sad and depressed about the world, but Stand Atlantic is my favorite band.
Well, I just put the whole Fear album in the playlist.
That's
with you.
The playlist.
It's basically it. Don't Talk to Me is what I put on that song.
Yeah.
Record.
You know, I'm going to go with a former guest of the pod, Crooked Teeth, because he's on a lot of the Spotify playlists with you. His song Beg, it's amazing. I just dropped my phone, nobody saw that, but yes, I love that song. I love his new stuff too. He's got a song out called Promises that has like a screamo breakdown. Listen to that too. But yeah, I'm choosing Beg. Begging for more.
I've done one for the promo side. Picked Damn our it. Own song,
but they like Stand Atlantic, so they probably
exactly.
like trash music.
Exactly, that's what I put it in. Shit taste, clearly.
Amazing taste.
I think I'm gonna go with Worst Day by Illenium and Max. You know, it's just it's kind of like the whole pandemic was just a series of the worst days of our lives.
Yeah.
What's that song? What, when you said that, it reminded me of the song, which is like, cause you had a bad day.
I literally said bad day.
Did you say that?
Yeah, I said that. She said a different song.
All right.
It was called Bad Day.
No, I'm picking that song.
Okay,
two bad days.
Two bad days.
It's going to be a bad playlist. Bad day playlist.
Picking Halloween bad news.
I remember. Oh, yes. Yes. You make me feel like it's Halloween. It's Halloween. Look, that song is a fucking banger. Muse, come on the show and talk to us all about how every day is Halloween.
Do you guys actually make these playlists?
Yes.
Yes, you can access them on our Spotify.
Halloween at least once in every once. Yes. It has to be in every playlist.
Tune in on Thursday after this episode drops. That's when we will put up the playlists on Spotify. We're going to make a social media post and tag the person who has sent it in so they get their own little Stand Atlantic playlist that y'all helped make.
Nice.
But I think we have, that's a pretty good playlist, especially.
I'm not mad at it.
Yes. Drew, can you play the second mood for us? And let's see if we can find a way to sneak You Make Me Feel Like It's Halloween on it.
We will.
I started a new job last month and my GF and I just celebrated our 2-year anniversary. At Onyx is homo.
Okay, what?
What?
What is your tag? Yeah.
Started
a new job and 2-year anniversary. I've got my song.
Mm. I had a bad day. No,
I don't know who it's by. It's just it's like,
Muse?
You don't gotta go to work.
Oh, work. Come on. I'm gonna go to work.
What is that? It's like Little Mix, maybe?
I'm gonna put Rihanna.
Oh, yes. Yes, I remember that song.
Okay, so Little Mix work and then Rihanna's
where work.
and Muse.
You make and me feel Muse. Like it's Halloween.
Yeah.
Oh yes, I know what I'm doing. The Notorious B.I.G. Give Me the Loot, because you know it's a good song for swaggering around. But you know, you just got that new job. You're moved in with your girlfriend. You know, just yeah, you're feeling great. Give me that money. Give me those good vibes. Give me the loot. I mean, I know that is about like an armed robbery, but you know, same vibes.
I also just realized the song I picked lyrics is "You don't gotta go to work."
That's fine. It's fine.
Whatever. That's the one.
Let's do Strawberry Fields Forever. Clay did a cover of Strawberry Fields Forever, and you know, I think that song just kind of like in general is good feelings, and it's kind of a celebratory like thing for me of just listening to it, feeling good about what's going on, laying out, looking up at the sunshine. I think that's
cool.
That's what I feel when I'm celebrating, you know, a milestone or a good feel.
Yeah.
Play a song that I'm familiar with that sounds happy.
Do you know a song that just like makes me feel so good about the person that I'm with?
Sixes to Nines.
No. You Make Me Feel Like It's Halloween by
God
Muse.
Damn it.
Oh, yep. Same. Crazy.
Feel like it's Halloween.
Well, listeners, do you have a mood of your own? Leave us a message by calling or texting the Tunes and Tumblers hotline at 626-604-6477, or just follow us on Instagram and give us a mood when we ask for them in our story. Drew is trying to build us a whole library of moods, so keep them coming. We have quite a few, but we can always have more. And who knows, your favorite artist just may make you a personalized playlist on the air. Well, y'all, this has been a lot of fun, but it's time to close up the bar. Tunes and Tumblers is a rare bar in that it is only open for 1 hour on Saturdays every
week.
You'll
ring the last call bell? What the hell?
Yeah, I know, right?
Got it. Closing time.
You don't have to go home, but you can't stay here.
Yeah, and we're going to just burn this place down. Before we go, gonna throw a Molotov, okay?
Let's not do that. There is a dude that did that recently on the news. Not having
Bye.
That. Bye.
Any lingering thoughts before we go? Anything you'd like to plug?
Just make sure everyone listens to Muse's Halloween song. We're on tour right now. I don't know when this is coming out.
2 weeks from 1 week from Tuesday.
Okay, so
we're probably just finishing this tour.
The tour's ending soon.
Go listen to Fear anyway.
Coming back to the US in Feb.
Yep.
Late Feb. And I don't know, we're a band. Fucking looks up.
If you're in LA, come to the LA show in February. We might just have some of these cocktails ready for y'all.
Yeah, sounds good.
I'll just make a bunch of these ice cubes for you ahead of time. I'll just put all the lychees into the freezer for you.
Kaylin, this is the best cocktail you've made so far.
I feel like you say that every time. Are you lying?
No, I mean it this time. Look, I love Barnes Courtney to death, but man, his cocktail was like a kick in the fucking mouth.
He in general is a kick in the fucking mouth.
I made a cocktail
he was like a good kick in the mouth, like drinking a double shot espresso ice cube kick in the mouth.
No, that sounds good.
Go listen to Stand Atlantic Fear, everybody. This is actually one of my favorite records of the year, and we are so happy to have y'all here.
Thank you guys for having us. I wish we could drink the drinks in person, but we'll have to do it later.
February, yes. Come back. Maybe
we'll
you can
save
grant,
them for you. We'll
maybe
just,
you
we'll
can
leave
tease
them here.
Some of those songs that got left out of the album next time you're here. Who knows?
Maybe. Maybe.
Maybe.
Maybe we'll just that have we new can. Stuff out.
Yeah,
maybe.
How about that?
Also,
like
maybe.
That. We yeah, like that.
Scary.
Well, Bonnie and Mickey, thank you once again for coming out. This has been so great.
Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
And thank you all for listening to Tunes and Tumblers. Tunes and Tumblers is an Atwood Magazine podcast and a member of the Pantheon Podcast Network. Be sure to follow us on every platform. Also, if you go into the episode description and scroll to the very bottom, you'll find a link where you can directly donate to the pod. Eventually, we're going to replace that with a Patreon because, like, I hear that that's what people do now. And plus, you get to hear all of the outtakes from this episode once that Patreon is up. Every dollar goes to keeping the lights on and getting supplies to make these delicious drinks. Tunes and Tumblers was produced, as always, by Drew Franzblau. Our theme song is by the band New Girlfriend. Our hashtag mood jingle comes to us from Jacob Jeffries and Jesse McGinty. And until next time, cheers!
Feet pics.
Cheers.
Mickey keeps saying feet pics, man.
Feet pics.